Queer.
The world of Eurovision isn't just confined to artists. There's a plethora of people who come under the magnificent heading of delegation. And even in that, there are interesting people that you are very surprised to find. Some of you will have seen the ABC TV program You Can't Ask That. You might have seen the program with Mr. Melbourne Rubber, and he's sitting right opposite me here in Kiev. Liam Clark, welcome to Triple Z's Queer Radio program.
Why, thank you. Thank you for having me.
This is the most unusual intersection of so many things that I really, you know, Eurovision throws up crazy shit. But this is the craziest of all.
Yeah, I guess I've worked really hard at a number of aspects of my life over the last few years, and then they both exploded in very different directions around about the same time. Bizarre.
All right, well, let's do the Eurovision thing first, because the second part is probably the most interesting and the most wow. So, Eurovision, you have been a part of the Estonian delegation, which means that you're involved with looking after the acts, wrangling all of us press people, etc., running and getting coffee for them, giving them foot massages.
Well, actually, I'm a little bit more important than that. There's lower people than me in the delegation, which is weird.
But you've got over a number of years, so you've risen.
Yes, well, this is my second year with the delegation. Back before, I was one of the press people that needed wrangling, and then I made my way into the delegation.
Estonia, why? Because Liam Clark is not an Estonian name.
No, it's not. Basically, when I first started getting into Eurovision, Estonia had the music I liked the most. Mm-hmm. So they were the ones that I reported on the most. And back then, it was a slightly different time. I guess we were a tiny bit ahead of the jump in that I was, for a long time, the only one doing any extensive coverage in English on Estonia, and because Estonia is a country with a very high English literacy, they noticed that I was writing stuff about them, and I made a tiny bit of a name for myself there doing it.
So you were big in Tallinn?
Yes, I was big in Tallinn.
Okay. So that's how you got to Eurovision, and that's how you and I met. But you're also involved with broadcasting on Joy 94.9 in Melbourne.
I am, and that's I guess that's a slightly separate thing. That was... I ended up winning, as part of my Melbourne Rubberman prize package, entry into the Joy radio training program. And I'd been sort of like a guest on Babble Pop, which is a foreign language pop music show.
Which is a CBAA award-winning program with Michael Pohl, who is here in Kiev, as he was in Vienna for Eurovision.
After I finished my training, he invited me to come and join him as a co-host.
On Babble Pop.
Yeah.
And who else could be better than someone who is versed in Estonian enough to count to 10, I understand.
Oh, no, I can count much higher than that. I know
20.
I think I can count to a million.
Wow.
And
Estonian is not probably the easiest language to learn. It's like Finnish on steroids.
Actually, no, it's a little more simple than Finnish, but not by much.
Because they seem to me, I mean, I know zero Estonian, but to look at it, it looks like a similar
It's very style. Similar. The words are a little bit shorter in Estonian, and there's a lot more German influence, which being English speakers helps. But it's still insanely complicated grammatically, which makes it almost impenetrable.
But the other thing about Estonia, I've always said with Eurovision, Estonia is we want to be Sweden. So it's like, everything that they do is they follow very much the Swedish line in a lot of things.
It's probably more that they want to be Nordic. So I think they follow Finland a bit. But although actually, no, these days more Finland is trying to follow Estonia, because for the sixth smallest country in the competition, we punch well above our weight.
And that's true. Last year was very, very disappointing that Jüri Putzmann, because he was absolutely gorgeous, which I'm not objectifying him at all. Didn't make it through to the grand final.
That was unfortunately lack of experience. He was still a very young singer and just didn't manage to pull it off on the night, and a variety of things went wrong, and that was very upsetting.
And Estonia's entry this year, Verona, has huge ABBA-esque overtones. I mean, the harmonising, the way it's structured, it's something that you can imagine Benny and Björn knocking off one afternoon on their island.
And there's a bit of modern talking to it, which was also
German
very
band,
ABBA, indeed.
Yeah, in that style.
So it's like two steps on... it's meant to be quite nostalgic in the way that it sounds, but also with a modern edge to it.
You've mentioned in our conversation, and I mentioned at the start, and let's get to the meat of the whole interview, Mr. Melbourne Rubberman.
Uh-huh.
It's extraordinary. You'll see on our Facebook and our Twitter, we'll put a photo of Liam in all his... I was going to say regalia,
but it's
both as well. Glory, regalia, and everything as well.
You just need to put the gay in regalia.
Yeah, exactly.
In capital letters.
It's so gay. obviously, living in Melbourne, wearing rubber is something you can do because you won't die.
Yeah, you've got like 45 minutes a year in Brisbane where it's possible.
If that. I can't imagine. I know there are people in Brisbane who are rubber fetishists and do have the full kit.
I admire them. I'm actually coming up to Brisbane for a rubber party at Boot Co.
Great.
In June.
Yeah. Well, of course, which is one of those times that you can
wear that. Yeah, you've got that tiny narrow window. Otherwise, you've got to come down to Melbourne.
Exactly. How long have you been involved in the rubber scene?
Been involved in the rubber scene, I guess, well, I've been into rubber for a very long time. There's a couple of seminal childhood experiences which led to, as about a 20-year-old, buying my first stuff.
So when you say seminal childhood experiences, I know some of this came up in the ABC program, but for those that didn't see it, what was the first thing that, if I could use the phrase, turned you onto rubber?
The first thing I remember is stealing a pair of latex-resistant chemical gloves from my dad's shed when I was about 8. And, I mean, this is pre-sexuality. It's before I understood anything about that. But I remember being very excited by that. In hindsight, I now realize that I was very turned on by that. But as an 8-year-old, you don't understand
The language at all.
No, you don't understand it at all. You just know that this is something that excites you. And as I got older and being a gay teen in the internet, gay teen in the country with the internet, I discovered more. And by the time I moved to Melbourne, I was ready to investigate. And yeah.
How did the ABC approach you to do that program? You can't ask that.
So they'd done everyone else on that program. And then they realized they didn't have anyone young. They didn't have anyone who was gay. And no shade to everyone else on the program, but they didn't have anyone who was especially pretty, they realized. So they went to Joy 94.9 and spoke to Dean Beck, who hosts a show called Hide and Seek, along with a number of other people. And he was asked if he knew anyone that would fit that bill. So he suggested me and Darby.
And Darby is Mr. Melbourne.
He competed in the Leatherman competition, Melbourne, but I believe he'll be back in the competition at some point in the future, and he'll probably win.
And just totally objectifying, Darby is fucking hot. He's an absolute. He's a hottie. He's a real hottie. The reaction to your appearance on the ABC. Mm-hmm. you did say it was how your dad discovered that you had. And not that you were gay, but that you were a gay rubber fetish. And there it is on ABC promo coming up next week on ABC 2. Look, Dad, hi.
So my dad knew that I'd won a competition and that I was going to Chicago for that competition's next stage. And then he was like, so what is it? And I'm like, it's really, really gay. Do you really want to know? And he's like, whatever. And he's also not on the internet, so he had no chance to see it, unlike my embarrassingly supportive mum. Eventually, he saw the ad, and he sort of sent me a message, and he was like, oh, I just saw you on TV, I think. And I was like, okay, so I'm kind of like a gay fetish icon in Melbourne.
And now around the country.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, the ABC has made you famous around the country.
And when I asked my dad what... I was like, are you shocked? Are you upset? And he's like, nah, I'm like, do you have any sort of reaction to this? And he's like, well, I'm happy you're successful.
Bingo.
Yeah. He's so blasé, but it's...
The outfit that you wear looks very high maintenance. Is it high maintenance?
It is. Well, actually, not hugely. I mean, it's very easy to clean. You just put it in a bucket of water with some dishwashing soap. Some of the real gentle stuff. You don't want anything too harsh.
Well, you want Madge and the palm olive.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're soaking in it.
and then you can put a little bit of silicone lube on it or some talcum powder to keep it.
Yeah. So you only have the one outfit, or do you have a variety?
Oh, God, I have so much. Hey, I could...
All black, or are you...
No,
colored?
I have a number of colors, yeah. Okay. I couldn't be number two in the world without a variety of wardrobes. Yeah, but the cat suit is the classic look.
Yeah.
But I've got some really cool sort of sporty-inspired stuff, because I've always sort of referred to myself as a geeky fetish jock, I guess. And... some other sort of very revealing, bulge-enhancing outfits.
All of these links will be on our Facebook and our Twitter, so you can check them out at your leisure.
I'm assuming there'll be a link to my Instagram as well, because that's
absolutely
a plethora of it.
Absolutely. You've recently been around Europe on your way to Kiev for Eurovision. You've been in Poland, you've been in Italy.
Yep.
What's the scene like here in Europe?
Well, I was attending the Mr. Rubber Poland, the first ever Mr. Rubber Poland competition, and the, I think, 12th Mr. Leather Italy competition. Both of those scenes so different. Poland is fun and edgy and new and a little underground, and there's a lot of guys into it there, but it's all a little bit hidden. Italy was not hidden. It was not underground. Also, leather tends to be a little bit more socially acceptable, so you can wear that out in public.
I suppose that's something about, you know, the whole Italian machismo.
Yeah.
You know, I know that's a Spanish word, but it's that same vibe.
But Melbourne, like if I wore my rubber out, it would be shocking,
unusual. Yeah.
Whereas I went out in like full leather, with a leather kilt and shirt and boots and like full get up, and the only comment I got was someone asking me if my kilt was Scottish or Roman.
There you go.
So.
Huge acceptance in Italy.
Yeah. Oh no, that was Melbourne.
That was Melbourne. Oh, sorry.
In Italy, people ignored me entirely. Yeah. Like they didn't even, not even a look.
We see it every day.
That's great.
Liam, you'll be in Brisbane, as you said, for Boot Co, and that's fantastic to come up and support our local community in that area. You're number two in the world. Number one a possibility?
No. No, I'm happy with number two.
You're number two?
So last year, Mr. International Rubber was won by Preston Sove from Boston. Legitimate inspiration, the coolest guy. So incredibly passionate, so incredibly talented. The first person of color to win Mr. International Rubber and the first Asian person of Asian origin to win any international fetish title. And he is doing some amazing stuff. I'm just from Australia, and I'm doing some good stuff for us too, but I can't compare to that. And I don't want to. I mean, I'm very happy with everything I've got to do. Coming second has afforded me so much gravitas, I guess. Like, it's given me enough power to do what I want to do so I can pass on the torch to whoever wins next year. This year.
Well, to bring it back around to the start of our conversation, to end our conversation.
Yeah.
We're doing this at Eurovision in the press centre at Kiev. Is Australia a worthy participant, and does Australia belong as a regular year-by-year competitor in this competition?
I think as long as we continue sending music that is of the quality that we have been sending, then absolutely. Ultimately, take away all the country names, take away everything. This is a television show. This is about entertainment, and we are providing entertainment. We are doing a good job. I think the Australian public, and this is a controversial opinion, should never be allowed to be involved in the decision.
You and I have the same opinion, which, listeners of Queer Radio, that doesn't happen very often. Liam and I have diametrically opposed opinions on almost everything.
Oh, we butt heads so
often. Except that, and neither of us understands Lana Del Rey at all. Liam Clark, thanks so much for taking time off from looking after the Estonian delegation
at
Eurovision. It's a great pleasure to meet someone who has looked after our community and represented us so proudly on the international stage.
Well, thank you so much.